but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Well, Chauncey Billups went to bed last night probably feeling pretty good about his young team. They played with some energy. They played with some focus. It didn't look bad on the court. Young players, young pieces. And wait a minute, who's at the door? The FBI? Chauncey Billups waking up this morning. Does your NBA coach wake up earlier in the morning than their NBA coach? I'm not sure it happened in the way Chauncey Billups wanted it to. He has been arrested. He is facing federal charges, FBI agents at his house, and a news conference at 7 o'clock this morning Pacific time in New York with the Department of Justice, the FBI, the commissioner, the police commissioner in New York City. They're talking about the Gambino crime family, three crime families in New York City. I didn't even know that the mafia was still a thing. That's how in the dark I was. We are not in the dark anymore. An illegal poker game, the FBI says. Chauncey Billups used as a lure to bring in the fish. An X-ray table, marked cards, special glasses or contact lenses, communication devices, $7 million in losses to the fish that are brought into the room. Chauncey Billups facing charges there. It goes farther for the FBI and the Department of Justice. They are alleging that there was also some conspiracy in the NBA. They have arrested Chauncey Billups early this morning as part of a coordinated arrest across nine states, 31 defendants, the Operation Royal Flush dealing with the illegal poker game. A second investigation, Zen diagram, dealing with the possibility of fixing in the NBA. There are some tentacles to this that are still undecided. The story seemed to be evolving by the minute this morning as multiple sources coming out, calling into question NBA games in the last two seasons that have had weird outcomes and strange betting patterns. And the FBI certainly releasing a news bulletin saying here are some games that are in question. And lo and behold, there's a game from the Trailblazers in the 2023 season there. There is a lot still here to be unpacked. The FBI and the Department of Justice say the investigation is ongoing. It looks to me like their real target are these crime families in New York. And you've got the NBA mixed up in this and Chauncey Billups mixed up in this. I want your reaction. I'm going to leave a lot of room on today's show for you. I want you to tell me what you make of it. I want you to tell me what the takeaway is. I want you to tell me what Tom Dundon, the new owner of the Trailblazers, should be thinking as he takes over Trailblazers, Inc. He's buying the team. He's at the game last night sitting baseline next to Jody Allen. If I'm Tom Dundon, I look over at Jody Allen and I make her the problem. I just, you know, this is the old Blazers era. We're going to have to really clean house when I get in here. We're going to have to get rid of the whole basketball operations people. We're going to have to get rid of the whole front office. Everybody's got to go because Jody Allen and Bert Cold, look at, this is them. If I'm Tom Dundon, that's the spin I'm working on today. If he's smart, that's what he does. I want your phone calls. 503-417-7575. Start lining up right now off the top of the show. We're going to talk all about this. Tim Donaghy, I reached out to Tim Donaghy, the disgraced NBA official who went to prison for his role in the NBA's last scandal. I am left thinking about the tentacles of gambling, legalized wagering. I thought it was interesting that the FBI and the U.S. attorney both said, hey, these legal gambling entities like DraftKings and FanDuel, well, they're victims in this. They're victims as well. And Blazer fans, do you buy that? Do you buy that these legalized entities are victims? I think there's a lot of irony in this as the NBA is untangling itself. The NFL, Major League Baseball, college athletics, none of it's immune. We'll talk about it on today's show. I've got a lot to say about it. Tiago Splitter is now the interim coach of the Blazers. Chauncey Billups, I don't think he's ever going to coach again. I think there's a good chance Chauncey Billups is going to get a lifetime ban from the NBA. 503-417-7575. Your phone calls. We're going to give you the floor today and lead us through this. Let's start in Tigard, Oregon. Steve's in Tigard. Steve, what was your reaction?
Hi, John. I got to tell you a quick thing. I'm not proud of it, but my uncle is the kind of the black sheep of the family. He's out of Vegas, and he told me very clearly that the more of these betting sites that open, the more of these kinds of things are going to go on. I realize that the Chauncey Phillips thing isn't based on betting against his team, but he told me that it's a coach, it's a referee, it's a player. He goes, this stuff's been going on for years it's fixed. And this is a guy that works in Vegas that's, you know, like I said, he's kind of on the low end of the family. But he always told me, if you ever need anything, let me know. But anyway, I'm not surprised, John, and I think it's much deeper than this. I think this is just the beginning of what people are going to do. Now, he told me they made $8 billion last year off of betting, and they said it's too big of an operation for them not to, you know, again, give a little bit here, give a little bit there, get people involved, and this kind of things happen. And that's what they told me. So I just like to give you a ring and tell you.
Because it's interesting. There are a number of people nationally who are now retroactively pulling out podcast interviews and videocast interviews with different people that have happened in recent years that outline some irregularities and some questions about sports wagering. Right now, Billups is facing charges on two counts in relation to the poker games, the illegal poker games, including money laundering and fraud. There is also, as part of the Department of Justice news release, a Blazers game from 2023 that is coming into question. March the 24th, 2023, the Blazers and the Bulls were playing, and one of the defendants in the case allegedly received and passed on insider information from a longtime friend, an NBA coach at the time, who told him that several of the Blazers' top players would sit out the game against the Bulls on March 24th, 2023. Look deeper into the indictment, and you sort of see that if you read it closely, the DOJ has left some room there to maybe potentially charge Chauncey Billups for some other things, because while he has been indicted in the poker case, he shows up in the betting case. Co-conspirator number 8, an individual known to the grand jury, was a resident of Oregon. Co-conspirator number 8 was an NBA player from approximately 1997 to 2014 and an NBA coach since at least 2021. Only Chauncey Billups fits that description. It's possible here that he's involved in it all, and they're hoping that he's going to roll and flip and, potentially we will find out more about this. If I'm the NBA, I'm not happy about any of this. I'm suspending and banning all the players. But I think you have to look deeply, too, at the connection that the NBA has with its legalized sports wagering partners. Literally, as ESPN this morning has its shoulder programming talking about this and what a shame it is and how bad this is for the game, on the scroll in the bottom of the screen, you've got an advertisement for ESPN Bet. It's the most ridiculous, absurd thing ever. Let's go to Jerry, who's in Clackamas. That opens a line, by the way, at 503-417-7575. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, thanks, John. Hey, you know, if you're swimming in at a river where there's the confluence of some decent water and some polluted water, they're going to mix. You're going to get some crap on you. You know, this whole thing, like you said, with the legalized gambling, I've wondered for a long time how close to that, and it's probably very close, is the illegal side of it. And then you have human nature. I mean, it's just the recipe for disaster, obviously. And that's obviously come to play, too. He's done some great work, Chauncey, with the defense and the way they play now. But I was kind of optimistic about him earlier. Now, whoops, it's all gone, and we need to clean house, but we need to maintain the cohesiveness and the team that's starting to really click together, and it's just disappointing.
Yeah, really disappointing for Blazer fans who, what, have been through the yellow Hummer, had been through the airport metal detector, had been through dogfighting, and have been through drag racing on Broadway, and have been through setting a league record for technical fouls. You've seen some stuff, and here your organization is, once again, the Blazers are acting like Lucy, and you're Charlie Brown. Here's the FBI director, Kash Patel, who, by the way, I was not impressed with. I don't think he's a particularly good public speaker, but he got the mic.
But as you now know, individuals such as Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, and Terry Rozier were taken into custody today, former, current NBA players and coaches. What you don't know is that this is an illegal gambling operation and sports rigging operation that spanned the course of years. The FBI led a coordinated takedown across 11 states to arrest over 30 individuals today responsible for this case, which is very much ongoing. Not only did we crack into the fraud that these perpetrators committed on the grand stage of the NBA, but we also entered and executed a system of justice against La Casa Nostra to include the Bonanno, Gambino, Genovese, and Lucchesi crime families. And you'll hear more about those details today. The charges and the arrests that were taken down across this country range from wire fraud, money laundering, extortion, robbery, illegal gambling.
The FBI speaking, the U.S. Attorney Joseph Sasella Jr. talking as well.
The indictments in these cases contain only allegations, and the defendants are presumed innocent until they are proven guilty in a court of law. But my message to the defendants who've been rounded up today is this. Your winning streak has ended. Your luck has run out. Violating the law is a losing proposition, and you can bet on that.
503-417-7575. I want your reaction. Stephen, what was your reaction early this morning?
Yeah, I think shocked like everybody else. Just didn't really expect this to come out of it. But my first thought was like, man, like Chauncey's done. Like he's done in the NBA. He won't be a coach. He won't be affiliated with anything. So my first thought was on the court. Like I just had a fun time watching the Blazers last night, John. They played hard. They played with the Minnesota Timberwolves for the entire game from the first to fourth quarter. They were in it. They played hard. They played good defense. They were fun to watch. Where do they go from here? Like, if they're a young team still that all seemed, by all accounts, you talk to anybody, they love Chauncey Billups as a coach. They liked him. Like, they looked up to him. And now he's going to be gone for the season. So how does this affect the Blazers on the court? That was my first question. Like, what are they doing now? Like, Chauncey's done. He will not be back. So I don't know how the Blazers react to that situation. But, you know, I actually think they'll be okay. Thiago Splitter coming in, being the brand new head coach. He has experience. He was a former player as well. But man, just coming off of an exciting game one, I was looking forward to the season. We talked about it all, you know, all this week of the Blazers opening up. You know, they got some expectations this season, and then this gets laid on your head, just kind of crazy right away.
I also think, like, if they were a contender, this would be a bigger blow to the mission, because I think it would be more disruptive to what they're doing. I think the fact that they are one of those teams that's kind of fighting to be a playoff team and is young and has a lot of different pieces, I think they'll be okay. They'll be resilient. But if I'm Tom Dundon, the owner to be, I'm putting this on Jody Allen. In the movie version, I'm making her look like Phyllis Diller. I mean, she's a mess. She's a nightmare. She can't do anything right. Look at who they hired. And I got to go back to that Neil Olshey news conference when Chauncey was hired. Remember, I came out. I said, "This, I'm not comfortable with him being hired. I didn't like it. He had the allegation of a sex assault that had occurred when he was much younger. He had paid the accuser in a civil suit, paid the person to settle, and Neil Olshey was questioned about it, and he said, we're going to do an investigation. And what did he do? Came back like 48 hours later, said, oh, yeah, we did an investigation, and, you know, we feel good. We stand by Chauncey Billups. Yeah. Was Neil Olshey his first call today? You know, when he was picked up this morning, did he call Olshey and say, hey, wait a minute, are you standing by me still? But I think there's a real character issue at the core of this. And I think there's going to be a lot more. I think it's the tip of the iceberg. I talked to an NBA player just before coming on the air, and I said, what did you know? What do you know about Chauncey? And the person said, I didn't really know him other than a hello, but I think it's the tip of the iceberg. Pro sports being sponsored started a slippery slope. It's everywhere.
But don't you...
everywhere.
And I get that, and I understand this, and there's been a lot of that talk, but I also think that this was happening before legalized sports betting was around. I think the legalized part of this is actually weeding out the people that are involved with it, and it's actually a good thing. Like, I didn't feel like this was... I feel like this was happening before DraftKings and FanDuel was around, but now, because it is so widely known and available, that we're actually catching these people when they're betting hundreds of thousands of dollars on Terry Rozier rather than it's an offshore account. And so I actually don't mind it. And it could be the tip of the iceberg, but I do think it's going to weed out all the people that have been shady and have been doing this kind of stuff.
Potentially, but I think when you open that window, you're letting a lot of people into the room and you're expanding legalized sports wagering. And some of this, again, has to do with Chauncey Billups in an illegal poker game. Decide for yourself if he's going to end up part of this basketball betting piece. Looks like at least the indictment hints at it. Let's go to Sam in Portland. Sam, welcome to the show.
John, I think La Cosa Nostra woke up this morning and said, wait, we're still a thing? I mean, I think this is, I think we need to slow down a second and look at what's happening. We don't know all the facts. I want to give Chauncey Billups the benefit of the doubt and let this thing play out. I don't think he's done. I think, honestly, a year or 2 years from now, this is going to be a nothing burger as far as his involvement. I mean, if they fooled all these people into, you know, tricking them out of millions of dollars, what's to say they didn't say, hey, Chauncey, can you show up for, an appearance at this card game and just come in and play, yada, yada, yada. And he had no idea what was going on other than he got paid to be there to be a celebrity at a game. He may be a completely innocent bystander in this whole thing. I don't know. But it seems like it just doesn't seem legitimate to me when you look at it on the surface right now. And honestly, I don't trust Cash Patel, his leadership, or anything that's going on right now in the government. So I just think it doesn't make any sense. I think we should give Chauncey the benefit of the doubt and not run him through the, his name through the mud right now. That's America is you're innocent until proven guilty. Sure. And I think we should give him the benefit of the doubt. And lastly, just say.
Well, innocent, Sam, hold on. Yeah, I know that. But innocent until proven guilty, sure, from a criminal standpoint. But if you're the Trailblazers, you have a business to run. And if you're Tom Dundon, you want to leave the past in the Neil Olshey era and the Chauncey Billups era and Jody Allen and Burt Cold and the airport metal detector and dogfighting and all that Jailblazers nonsense. You want to leave that in the past. That's not part of what you're requiring for $4.25 billion. So while you may be right, and I agree with you that, due process is important, I don't think you have to for a second pause to be like, well, we have to give Chauncey Billups. The NBA has said basically he's on administrative leave and the Blazers should be going as soon as he's off administrative leave. He is fired and he's not part of what we're doing moving forward because, if you've got connections at all to organized crime, we don't want you on our bench coaching our team. Yeah, we don't know the scope of it, but I'm not willing to say that, a person that is indicted by the U.S. Attorney's Office and has the FBI knocking on their door, I'm not willing to say that person should be coaching the team. Let's go to Mike. Mike, welcome to the show.
Yeah, John, first of all, I believe personally that the mafia had something on Chauncey. And the reason I believe that is that Chauncey was a rich guy that really didn't need no money. He got rich when he was playing, 13 seasons in the NBA. He got money as a coach. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that he was involved in that scheme because he needed the money. I think he was forced to do that because the mafia had something on him. That's my own belief. And also, the federal government is not going to come at somebody based on whims. They studied that situation for over 3 years. I think they got him. I really do. And the rest of the NBA players. You know, it's always been my position that if an NBA players nowadays get hurt too much, the old school NBA players, where the game was rougher, they never missed games. Then I always go back to Jim Brown, who played in the NFL all his whole career, and he never got hurt. He never missed a game. So when you got players like Damian Lillard and all these other players that somehow get hurt, to me it's suspicious, because NBA game is not rough no more. The floor, the court, it's specifically made to absorb impact, so players don't have really get hurt. So I just think the whole thing, to me, is suspicious, man.
Yeah.
Of these players getting hurt. Anyway, man, talk to you later.
I don't blame you for being suspicious. I think there's an air of suspicion that comes hand in hand with all this stuff. I want your phone calls. 503-417-7575. What was your reaction to Chauncey Billups? What should the Blazers do with Billups moving forward? Obviously, there is he's got bigger problems and bigger questions here than who the Blazers are playing in the next couple of games. He has a legal defense to mount here as it pertains to this indictment. 503-417-7575. I want your phone calls. Plus, how much of this do you put on the NBA? Is this the tip of the iceberg? Is it isolated? What do you think Adam Silver's ultimate reaction should be? You got the BFT.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Expect a PR campaign that focuses on isolating what they perceive to be the bad actors. I mean, the best case scenario is that they can cut out or separate from the people they perceive as being bad news. Obviously, alleged members of the crime families, but of course the players and coaches too. Even though they are, as you say, presumed innocent, the reality is anytime the government releases an indictment like this, the only voice anybody hears for months at a time is the government's version of the case. So the NBA cannot wait until an adjudication of guilt. They cannot wait for a verdict or a guilty plea. They have to act immediately and distance themselves from all of this conduct.
Talking about the PR of this legal case, that's legal analyst Danny Savelos, who says you should expect a PR campaign from the NBA. I want your phone calls. 503-417-7575 is the number. Your reaction to Chauncey Billups being arrested and charged. He's been indicted on two counts. It's bad news, and it's a bad look, but what do you think? Let's go to Chad in Portland. Chad, welcome.
Hey, what's up, John? Man, I love your show. I listen every chance I get, but this morning I got a gut punch. And that was tough, just hearing that, because Chauncey was a hard sell for me, man. It took me a while to come around to him, but I thought that this, like last night, I saw a lot of improvement in RD. I felt like he's got this relationship built with this young team. They've got a lot of trust invested in him, and now it's all blown up. So I'm a little disappointed in Chauncey and kind of just hoping the best for the future for my Blazers. I'll take it offline. Thanks.
Yeah, Chad, I appreciate the call. Certainly some angst there from Blazer fans. Look, I was not a big fan of the Chauncey Billups hire. I had a lot of questions as he was coaching the team, whether he was the right guy. As a silver lining, we're going to get to see somebody else coach this team, and we'll get to find out, like, you know, could somebody else do a little more with this roster? I think one of the things, though, when I look at Chauncey Billups in the last four seasons that I come away thinking about is, you know, I never left games and I didn't hear people leaving games going, wow, Chauncey Billups is such a great strategic coach. He's a great X and O guy. And in fact, he had not been a head coach prior to getting the job in Portland. And look, not unusual by NBA standards, former players get a wide berth and an easier path to the first seat and the first chair on the bench. But I know when Neil Olshey hired him, there were just a lot of questions about whether or not he was qualified,
John,
for that job.
That thought came to my mind. Could this actually be a blessing for the Trailblazers and they get a better coach in there? Because I had a lot of critiques of Chauncey Billups as a coach Now he's out. There's nothing you can do about it. Tiago Splitter coming in. Could they have upgraded? Maybe they did.
Let's go to Travis. Travis in Oregon. Welcome to the show, Travis.
Hey, huge fan, huge fan. I just want to say, you know, like kind of what Chad said, I'm a little heartbroken by it. You know, I've been following the Blazers a lot recently, especially recently. We've been doing pretty hot. But now it's just, like he said, you know, woke up this morning, and the first thing we see is our head coach being fired. It's just, you know, now what do we do? Who do we look for? Is it Malone? Because that guy, maybe. I don't know. I'm just going to keep it short and sweet. I'm a little hurt. Yeah. Love you. Thank you.
Well, I think you're speaking for a lot of people. And look, I hear it in Travis's voice there. There's some pain in his voice there. Blazer fans, I just feel like you've been through it. And maybe you got a little bit of hope when you heard, hey, the team was selling. I've not heard of and seen a sports market so elated about a sale than the Blazer fans were when it was announced that Tom Dundon and his group was coming in to buy the team. Much in the same way that legal analyst was talking about the NBA sort of separating itself from the trouble, if I am Dundon, I am pinning this on Jody Allen. I am pinning this on Burt Cold. I'm making them look like Tweedledee and Tweedledum. And I'm going, that was the old era. Well, thank goodness I'm here. That's the spin. And if I'm Dundon, I'd get on that. Let's go to Cam, who's in Eugene, listening on Fox Sports Eugene.
So thanks for taking the call, John. I am usually good for one call a year berating the Blazers organization. Usually doesn't happen this early in the season. At 10 a.m. this morning, I was literally like, does Las Vegas still want a team? Because I'm ready to get rid of them and just maybe we'll pick it up in a few years with a franchise team. And it's just very frustrating. It's been 25 years. And in any other world, I would look at this situation with what Billups allegedly did, innocent until proven guilty, although, you know, I don't know. There's another former NBA player that was coaching in Portland. That sounds pretty specific. But it's like the Cleveland Browns, you know. The problems were there before the current head coach, and the current head coach one day will probably be fired just like the last five. But it doesn't matter because over time you become responsible for what's going on in your organization, and that's what's going on with the we'll call it the Allen dynasty between him and his sister. They missed something with Billups. They didn't see something about him. There was a red flag that went unfound. Just like there was with Greg Oden, just like there was with Brandon Roy, and it's only a three-hour show, so I'll stop there. But I am just so done to be ready with the Allen era. I just keep the team in Portland. I've cooled off since then, but it's just absolutely ridiculous, and Blazers fans deserve so, so much more than this, and the organization, regardless of the fact that this is a criminal thing that doesn't implicate all of them, they should still be ashamed of themselves because they just can't. They just can't.
Yeah.
And for the stars, you might hit a light post.
There you go. I am looking for, and Steven, I don't know if you've seen this. Maybe the team has done this in another way. Maybe they've reached out to individual reporters to make a statement. But I am looking for a statement from the Trailblazers today. The NBA has come out, and I'm you know, going back 3 days ago, I got Trailblazers Communications sent me an email saying, they signed Shaedon Sharpe to a multi-year contract.
They released one at 11:48, John. It was very short. All it said was the Portland Trailblazers today released the following statement. We are aware of the allegations involving head coach Chauncey Billups, and the Trailblazers are fully cooperating with the investigation. Billups has been placed on immediate leave, and Tiago Splitter will assume head coaching duties in the interim. Any further questions should be directed to the NBA, and that is all they said.
This is bad. If I'm Tom Dundon, I come out and I get in front of this and I go, this is Phyllis Diller and Tweedledum.
Can that impact Tom Dundon ownership, Blazers?
If he's smart, he spins this, right? If he's smart, he's saying, hey, look, this is like a mattress store that's under new ownership. Put a banner out front and put it on top of the Motor Center, you know, under new management. And everybody goes, okay, that it's not them. They, you know, it's not the new guy. If you're Dundon, I think you have to do a little bit of that today. I don't think this, like Softy at KJR in Seattle asked me, you know, hey, does this impact their ability to get an arena done? And I said, I don't think it does if Dundon's smart. If he's smart enough to go, hey, this isn't the new regime. Gosh, the old regime was a mess. And I'm in it with you, Blazer fans. If he's smart enough to do that, I think he can make a win out of this. Because I think you can always blame what happened on the old guys. You can blame it on the old regime. You do what they do in politics, you know. Oh, it was the last guy. It was Joe Biden, right? It's Trump. It's
Thanks,
you
Obama.
Know, it's Obama. You blame your predecessor for the stock market and for the problems, and then you get blamed on your way out. That's kind of how it goes.
Talk about a heck of a first impression Portland makes on Tom Dundon right there. He shows up to game one, and then 12 hours later, the head coach is arrested for gambling.
Yeah, it's just such a bad scene. Welcome to Portland. Let's go to the phone lines. 503-417-7575. Dennis is in Milwaukee. Dennis, go ahead.
Love your show. You kind of stole my thunder. I actually had a different take. I find it very refreshing. Because for the first time in quite a few years, we have an ownership that's so strongly committed to winning that if you lose the home opener, you're not only fired, the FBI will arrest you. And
yeah.
I think that's the tough approach we need. The still
yeah,
winning.
There you go. There you go. I like the spin. Hey, you know what? He didn't win the opener. He's gone. You know, quick trigger. Look, where do you fall? And I would love to ask the audience this. Where do you fall on the idea of due process in Chauncey Billups? Where do you fall on the idea of, you know, hey, innocent until proven guilty? If you're the Blazers organization, you know, they're playing it super safe, right? They're doing it super safe, super clean and easy. But where do you fall on the idea that, all right, wait a minute, a person who's accused of a crime like this by the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office, it's no good. It's not bad. It's not a good thing. But where do you fall on his ability to keep his job? Brian Windhorst, ESPN, talking about how Chauncey was involved here. Listen carefully.
Chauncey Billups isn't even named in this indictment. The head coach of the Trailblazers, who's now been put on leave by the league office, as, by the way, as Terry Rozier, as I'm sure you've told your viewers. Chauncey is just described as co-conspirator 8. Who is described as an Oregon resident who played in the NBA from 1997 to 2014.
Yes, we can figure that out. Okay. Yes. Uh-huh.
So this is what the new information is, which is that Damon Jones and Chauncey Billups use their positions as coaches of teams to tell people who may be available. And what it appears to be Damian Lillard and LeBron James, potentially also Anthony Davis. I'm not 100% sure about that.
So wait a minute. Let me just jump in here. So you're saying Chauncey Billups, it's not just the poker thing, that he is also in this indictment,
yes,
alleged to have given out information as to who's playing and who's not?
Yes, that's
wow.
correct. And that's what, I'm not downplaying the poker thing, but
I hear you.
The NBA isn't concerned today with whether people who are playing in illegal poker games got defrauded. I mean, they may feign that they care about that, but, they don't care about that.
Right.
They care about sensitivity information about their players and their games. And so what Chauncey is being accused of is, there was a tanking job going out in 2023 going on because people were really interested in getting their hands on Victor Wembanyama. And the Blazers weren't participating in that tanking situation. And there was a moment in March of that year where the Blazers basically seemed to have decided to put their tank in overdrive. And they decided they were not going to play their regulars anymore, but specifically they were not going to play Dame Lillard. And there was this day, I can't remember who they were playing, maybe the Jazz. Damian was listed as probable with a calf tightness. And according to the indictment, I'm not saying it happened, I just said according to the indictment, Chauncey told somebody that Dame wasn't going to play amongst other players, even though he was listed as probable. As the day went along, he was then switched to questionable and then out, and then he never played again the rest of the season. And the Blazers lost 15 of their last 17 games and ended up with Scoot Henderson, the number two pick.
How big of an infraction is that in your mind? And I agree with Windhorst. The NBA knows that players gamble. They know on the team plane, on road trips. I've heard about NBA players in Portland. Dale Davis talked about a Blazers player who lost $10,000 on a plane trip, on a charter plane trip, as the team was traveling from a game after one NBA game. But I am definitely interested in what is going down with the gambling and whether or not co-conspirator number 8 is going to end up with charges as well. tied to the gambling probe. 503-417-7575. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think the NBA changes the tanking rules because of this? Because we all knew the Blazers were tanking for Wembanyama, right? Windhorst laid it out right there. They lost their last, 15 games. We said, hey, they need to bench Dame. Like, what are they doing? They can't win. They need to get as best odds as possible. Is this the tip of the iceberg for the NBA to change some of their tanking rules? Because we know what happens, and we know guys are faking injuries to sit out. I mean, this is now out there in court that this is happening, that Chauncey's like, nah, well, he's not playing because we need to lose.
I don't think that the tanking rules are the biggest part of the problem. The tanking rules are problematic. I mean, no doubt. The league may have to look at it and go, okay, you know, do we even draft the way that, you know, we draft? Or, you know, is it just everybody who doesn't make the playoffs goes into the lottery? Everybody has the equal number of chances. You know, is there no incentive for losing games moving forward? But it still doesn't change the fact that, you know, the vast majority of these cases that we have seen with irregularities in gambling stem around, you know, player inside information, player availability or injury availability. And they also point to over-unders with players being pulled from games or maybe just not taking shots if there's an over-under on points. And so I think there's just a bigger problem there. When you have gambling involved in sports, can you have with reasonable certainty, confidence that the public and people involved in these games aren't gonna get, you know, be complicit in fixing the games? I mean, I just don't know. Maybe you can't avoid it if you have gambling around it at all. You tell me. 503-417-7575. I want more of your phone calls. Wherever you may be, this is the day you pick up the phone and you call in. I want to know what's on your mind. I want to know what you're thinking about that maybe others are not talking or saying. And I want to know how you feel about it. 417-7575.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
.  is the phone number. I want your reaction to what you see happening. Chauncey Billups arrested. NBA scrambling around. I'm looking at the United States U.S. Attorney's release. I have received just a few minutes ago a lot of the photographs and the text messages that were sent between the parties. I was looking at it during the break. It's a lot of information to sort through. I don't want to put pieces out, but I will do it throughout the show today. Mark in Portland has called in. You have the floor. Go ahead, Mark.
I'm going to say, is you had somebody call in today and say that, you know, this is Cash Patel, but this investigation started in 2023. Operation Royal Flush, the New York Police Department and the FBI. So they've built up a case for the last 3 years. And they don't just – Mike – what a day today is. Mike makes the most sense because they definitely, I'm not going to say definitely, they definitely have something. I'd said it again. They have something on him and they're probably trying to get him, you know, to turn like they do. And, but when people say that it's not as somebody on the, you had somebody say that it wasn't as big a deal, to the NBA, the poker stuff. If he was involved in defrauding, professional, you know, or poker players out of $7 million. I see that as the same thing, John. It's not good. And, you know, you're talking about ethics and integrity and all that stuff. The Blazers need to figure out how to get out of his contract and move forward. That's the way I see it as a, you know, Portland, you know, Trailblazer fan for years. Yeah. It's just sad to watch what's happening, but this is I'm not, you know, he deserves the presumption of innocence and all that stuff, but they didn't just, this case just didn't come out of the woodworks. It's been investigated for the better part of 3 years, and it sounds like they, you know, they got their ducks in a row. And, yeah. And
their batting average is not bad either with indictments and convictions. I would go back to the hiring of Chauncey Billups. I don't think he should have got the job in the first place, and I remember talking about it on this show. I didn't like his history. I didn't like the allegations of a sex assault. I didn't like that he had settled with an accuser. I didn't like that Neil Olshey seemingly didn't do his homework on that front. It looks to me like the Blazers, from a culture standpoint, didn't value the things they should have been valuing. 503-417-7575 is the number. Let's go to Ross in Roseburg, listening on 1490 KSKR. Go ahead, Ross.
Hey, John. Yesterday, you guys were talking about a motto for the Blazers, and I don't think we had enough information yesterday to appropriately come up with a motto. What do you think about they come out with an ad that says, hey, put your chips on the table and go all in with the Blazers?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Lean into it all the way. Lean into it all the way. I mean, literally, Chauncey Billups, basically, after last night's game, listen to what he said.
No, you know, I don't, that pressure thing is nothing to me, man. I do the best I can and let the chips fall where they may. You know that about me by now, quick.
There it is. Let the chips fall where they may.
You just can't make that up.
Poor choice of words.
You cannot make that up, John.
Poor choice of words. Let's go to Daryl, who is in Oregon City at the end of the Oregon Trail. Go ahead, Daryl.
Hey, John, I watched that press conference today and established that this investigation had been going on for some time. Yeah. But my question for you is, in the course of this investigation, is it possible that they have already interviewed some of the Blazer brass and they were aware of what was happening with Chauncey before this morning?
It's possible because they did say that the NBA cooperated. It's possible, but I got the impression that Billups did not see this coming, that this was a blindside to him. And certainly I have to think with his friends and neighbors in his neighborhood probably looking around going, what in the world is going on today? That's not how you want to wake up. Let's go to Maurice in Portland. 417-7575 is the number. I want your calls. Maurice, go ahead.
Hey, John. I just want to say, you know, you get somebody like Chauncey Billups who's made tens of millions of dollars throughout his professional career playing ball, and then he's got the, you know, he's able to parlay that into a head coaching job for the Portland Trailblazers where he's had contracts where he's made more millions of dollars. He was just inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And you would think that that would be enough. And, you know, to get himself involved in this type of a scandal, I think that a lot of it has to do with, and we see it a lot with NBA players and NFL players, certain ones, like they, some of them, I think once I heard that the crime families were involved, the mafia, you know, the Gambinos and all of this, you know, it's very, you know, but it gave me the feeling like, you know, some of these guys, they have this desire to want to be gangsters. They're wannabes. They want to be tough guys and they want to be rubbing shoulders with these types of people, even though you've worked your whole life to get away from all of this silliness and stuff. And you're making millions of dollars legally to turn around and risk it all, you know, with these types of folks. And it just, you know, it doesn't make sense, but I would bet that has a lot to do with it, man. You know, people just, they want to feel tough and gangster and all of this. And it just doesn't make much sense to me. He'll probably be the first player to be pulled out of the NBA Hall of Fame for some mess like this. And it's just a shame.
Terry Rozier, who also arrested, it has NBA contracts that totaled $160 million. One of the highest paid guards of the era, $160 million. You wouldn't think that a guy with $160 million in career earnings would blink at the possibility of going and getting involved with something like this. But is it a slippery slope? I had one person involved in the NBA tell me today that, you know, they had to sign waivers when they were employed by the NBA teams saying, we won't gamble, we won't do an NCAA tournament pool, we won't associate with known gamblers, we won't associate with, you know, basically the insinuation being, don't even rub shoulders with the wrong people, because even if you're photographed with people who are involved in this stuff, it's bad news.
I can confirm that, because when I worked for the Blazers, I had to do the same exact thing. They made it very clear you cannot be associated with any type of gambling at all, NBA or anything. Like, they didn't want you to be a part of it at all. And the crazy part about it is with Chauncey, John, the poker thing, he was reportedly getting $50,000 just for the one night of poker. Like he makes millions upon millions of dollars and did it in his playing career and as a coach, but he was doing it for $50K.
Doing it for $50K is the, now I'm just going to put this out there. I do not know this to be true, but you know, one thing that occurred to me is I said, okay, how does Chauncey Billups or somebody like Chauncey Billups or Terry Rozier get involved with something like this? And, you know, people have talked about Chauncey being a poker player, that he liked to play poker. The, a lot of NBA players, Michael Jordan, notorious for his gambling. And maybe think about Jordan today. Would Jordan have been wrapped up in this scandal if it happened in his era?
He'd go to play baseball.
Right. But I thought to myself, you know, let's just say you're an NBA player who likes to play poker. Let's just say you're playing at games that you end up playing at games that are impacted by, you know, the Gambino and crime family, basically the crime families of New York. Do you get so heavily in debt to them that they say the only way you can pay this off is you have to come play in the game for us to validate it? And, you know, was he there as a stooge? I don't know, but he's still complicit in being at that game while they're ripping people off for $7 million is pretty problematic. But is that how you get in debt to the crime families of New York, who, by the way, I didn't even know they existed anymore? I have had so many people reach out to me going, this stuff is still out there. Like, they're going to make a movie about this. No doubt. Movie will be made. I don't know who will play Chauncey Billups. I don't know how it's going to end, but I want to know how you feel about it. 503-417-7575 is the phone number. You weigh in, wherever you may be. I want to hear what you're thinking. Share it with us now. Call in.
BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
I'm just sorting through some of the information from the United States Attorney's Office as it pertains to Chauncey Billups and the arrest today. I've tweeted out a couple of screenshots. One of them, Stephen, I don't know if you're getting a look at it. It's text messages between the defendants that appear to reference Chauncey Billups at the poker table. Sophie in New York saying, Spook and Chauncey hit two gut shots on the river against the same guy. Both calls were over $30,000. The answer from Robert came back, the one guy in the end acted like he wanted Chauncey to have his money. He was starstruck. Sophie replied, yeah, I know, they all were, really. So I was thinking maybe instead of you playing, we let one of the Middle Eastern guys play. Whenever he gets the winning hand, Chauncey and Spook should lose to him. Sounds like a plan, says Robert. Okay, perfect. They already know all the signals. Just got to let us know which one. I mean, it's interesting. And they apparently had a heart for the fish that they were fleecing. Big Mikey said, guys, please let him win a hand. He's in for $40K in 40 minutes. He's going to leave if he gets no traction. G-Stacks replies, agreed. I am fascinated by what I am seeing and the back and forth between the subjects.
I don't think they felt for him. I think they just knew if you keep beating him, he's not going to play anymore.
Right?
They got to keep on the hook.
But I mean, if you read that exchange between Sophie in New York and Robert Stroud, who were texting about how starstruck the other people at the table are about Chauncey, like, they already know the signals. They're in on it. Like, they got to just let us know which one. Like, basically, they're going to let, you know, they're starstruck that they're losing a hand to Chauncey Billups. It is in a fascinating study. I am looking through hundreds of text messages and photographs. I will tweet some of those out at John Canzano BFT. You can also look at my Instagram at John Canzano on Instagram. I'll put them there as well. But, Stephen, you take a look at that last exchange there and tell me what you see.
Fascinating that people are okay with just losing money to celebrities like that. Like, that's what it is. Like, they're happy. They were happy they were losing to Chauncey Billups. That is just crazy to me that that's how it is. But it seems like they really had it down where, you know, they had the right people in there. They had the right, celebrities that wanted to play, like Chauncey Billups. They had the right, fish that wanted to play, and they wanted to give up all their money, and they had all the signals down. Like, this was a nice little operation that they had going on, John. Like, it was down pat. It seemed like they really had it organized, and I guess that's why it's organized crime. You know, they had it really organized, and they were ready to go for whoever was out there.
They call that organized crime. There we go. Let's go to the phone lines. 503-417-7575. I'll be looking through this on the commercial breaks and getting more of this stuff out there. Dan is in Northeast. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, John. You know, this, I guess I'm a little surprised to find what I guess is a minority opinion here, but I'm just going to push back against this, what I guess is the prevailing notion that the Blazers are completely determined to be culpable in this. We're talking about Chauncey being innocent until proven guilty. There is zero evidence that the Blazers knew anything about this. There are zero allegations from the FBI or anybody else that the Blazers knew anything about this. Yes, it's a terrible look for the team, but what are we saying here? That they should have caught it in the background check back in 2021?
Well, I mean, Dan, okay, hold up. I'm going to push back a little bit because I do think character matters. And I do think there were questions about Chauncey's character in 2021. And the Blazers went, no, we stand by Chauncey. He's our guy.
Yeah, no question. And I opposed the hire initially for the same reasons. But I mean, are we going to then, are Clippers fans feeling the same? Because he was an assistant coach there for several years. I don't know. I've been a Blazer fan for decades. And I remember the Jail Blazers era. And I remember coming out of that and the organization being, you know what, this is a new day. We're going to move forward. We're going to do a better job going forward. And we all said, yeah, right. We'll see about that. And it took the better part of a decade. It did not happen overnight or in a couple seasons. It took a long time for them to rebuild that trust. And I'm just observing that in the absence of any evidence that anybody other than Chauncey Billups knew what he was doing in his free time, I just am personally, I'm not willing to annihilate all the work that the franchise has done up to this point. We just don't know yet.
I agree. I think we're seeing it a little different because I don't necessarily think you burned down the franchise, but I do think, you know, let's look back. Let's eliminate the Chauncey Billups thing and make this simple. Let's go back to, you know, the era where the Blazers had a registered sex offender on the roster and they have the Yellow Hummer incident, which now in hindsight looks like a minor infraction because of the attitudes towards marijuana. Or you have the airport metal detector in Damon Stoudemire. Or you have the dog fighting in Quintel Woods, or any number of those infractions that infected that area. You know, you didn't like annihilate the ticket salespeople and the sponsorship people. You didn't look at, you know, the receptionist at one center court and say, oh, that she's a bad person, or he's a bad person, whoever's answering the phone. We did, though, look at the organization and go, what the heck is going on with the culture? Who are they? Who's on this roster? And I do think there was a recalibration that happened with Brandon Roy and LaMarcus Aldridge and certainly Damian Lillard and some of the guys, Nicholas Batum, who came after, who were largely viewed, Wesley Matthews, who were viewed as good guys. But I do think you look at this and you go, okay, wait a minute. What kind of character did they have in charge of the locker room? Somebody who has been indicted by the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office. I can't sit back and be like, it's okay, that just happens, that's not the organization. I do think it's the people that you bring into the room. It's the people you hang out with. I was also it was interesting to me. I was talking to another person. I'm not confident that I should maybe out this. I'll say it because I think he'd be comfortable with it. Dan Lanning asked me this morning. He said, gosh, did you see this coming? Oregon coach. And we got to talking about Chauncey Billups and the evaluation of character. And I asked him a question about, like, I said, do you look around the room when you're signing a 4-star or 5-star recruit? Do you see who this person's hanging out with? Do you dive into their social media accounts and see what they're tweeting about? Do you look at who their friends are, how they're spending their free time, how they're spending their time away from football? They absolutely do. And they do that because they want to avoid a case like this. When the Blazers drafted Zach Randolph in the first round and made him a first-round draft pick out of Michigan State, I got a hold of the, you know, they hired a FBI profiler
an investigator to go back and look at Zeebo and look at everything that he had been in because they wanted to know who they were drafting. I think part of the problem here is they didn't know who they were bringing in to be their head coach.
Should they have known? Because back in 2023, John, professional poker player Matt Berkey was on his podcast, and he said that Chauncey Billups was scamming people. It was scamming and stealing money from people in illegal poker games. This was 2023. This is a podcast that's been out there. It was on Reddit forums and in Rip City Reddit. I heard nothing about this. There was no stories about it, no nothing. Should the Blazers have heard that and looked into it and gone into it that way? Like, are the Blazers culpable for not really addressing this situation when there were stories out there for 2 years prior that Chauncey Billups was doing this?
Yeah, there's some smoke out there. There's also, you got to know who's in your room. You need to know who's in your room. By the way, Dan Lanning also did not know that the Mafia was still operating. John's in Skamania County. John, go ahead.
Hey, John, I agree with you on the initially that, you know, the Blazers maybe didn't do the due diligence, and the hiring of Chauncey was suspect just because of the settlement on that charge, and then also in fact he hadn't been a head coach, and so. But I will say this: I think this is actually, I hadn't been to a Blazer game for a long time, for several years till last year, and I really started getting into. I think it's different that this happened to a coach versus the players. And I think they have turned things around. They've got a great nucleus of young guys with Avida and Kamara and Klingon and Grant. And in fact, Scoot, there it is, was what I was going to call in yesterday to offer the new slogan for them. But you know, with Scoot and Yang and Drew Holiday and Sharp and Thibault, I think this is a different caliber of character of player on the court. It's unfortunate what happened with Chauncey, but I actually think most people would say, hey, Chauncey was not a great coach. And this is maybe the best thing could happen for the Blazers in retrospect. So that's one. But number two, I just want to say, as an old dude, as an old sports guy, my brain just can't, and it started 5 years ago when these leagues and these teams embraced gambling. I grew up in an era where gambling was verboten in all sports. Like, think about this. People will have to search this, the younger people, Paul Horning and Alex Karras. They had to sit out a year of NFL play because they were hanging out with, quote, noted gamblers at the time. That's how I started my football. And now we're embracing to the point, and I'm just going to share one last story just to, like, this hit me like a ton of bricks about a month ago. I'm at a tailgate party. I'm not going to say it was a college football tailgate party. And I'm there, and I'm kind of busting chops with some young kids that were fans of the other team. I said, hey, so-and-so is going to run for 200 yards today. I know how old these kids were. The kid says to me, he looks at me and says, I bet the under that he's not going to even rush for 59. I go, I literally was like, I go, what are you talking about right now? And he said, I bet the under, they put the line at 59 on the prop bet for how many yards the guy that you just talked about is going to gain. I bet that he's not going to get that. I said, how old are you? He said, 18. I go, what? And there was a 16-year-old with him. They were both betting. I said, what are you betting on? He said, I forget if he said FanDuel or DraftKings, but it was one of the, you know, on the phone app. And I literally was floored. I mean, I don't gamble. I said to him, I go, do you understand how trouble you could, like, you know what the kid said to me? He says, well, I'm not if you're winning. I'm winning. Yeah. He says, I don't lose. He said, I'm smart about it. I said,
yeah. Okay.
Dude, until you literally lose your butt. I said, you need this. Like, this is bad. And I literally walked away thinking.
Well, look, there's conversations going on all over the place. They go on in NBA locker rooms. You know, we're going to have Trent Walker on the show, Oregon State wide receiver. I'm going to ask him, like, what do they talk about with college players when they talk about preventing gambling? You know, we'll talk about the football game Oregon State won, but why? We're going to talk about, like, what are they talking about as it pertains to preventing athletes from picking up their phone and gambling on a sporting event they're not supposed to be gambling on. And, oh, by the way, there's some new legislation out there that they're trying to allow college athletes to bet on games, even college games. Chris is in government camp. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, John, one of the things you're just about to get into it, I think one of the biggest problems here is there's very light consequences for these guys. I'm surprised that NBA players or other players are allowed to bet on other sports. Totally fine.
and there's, you know, oh, you might get a suspension or a fine. There needs to be, like, zero tolerance. You're done forever. You don't get any pay. You know, your contract's canceled. Chauncey Billups is in the Hall of Fame. I think the Hall of Fame should seriously consider pulling this guy out. You know, this there's too light of consequences. People are getting slapped on the wrist that are millionaires. You know, these guys need to have the hammer dropped on them so they know if you're messing around, you're done forever, John. There needs to be a lot heavier consequences for people that are messing around with this stuff.
Yeah. I think the consequence, though, I mean, think about this for a guy like Terry Rozier. $160 million contract. Think about this for Chauncey Billups, Hall of Fame coach. Right now, if these individuals are found guilty, I think the NBA's move is to do just what the PR person said. You know, you're going to make this about, like baseball did with, you know, Ippy Muzuhara. You're going to make this about a lone assassin. These were bad actors. This was Tim Donaghy. This was, it was Oswald on the, it was Oswald. There was nobody on the grassy knoll. It's just Pete Rose. It's an isolated incident. This is isolated. This is nothing wrong with our game. But the truth is that we all know better. And, you know, we know that this isn't alone just in the NBA. It's probably happening in other sports. This rocks the confidence of everything we know. This rocks the confidence of fair competition. I think Adam Silver's league today, while they're cooperating, I'm using air quotes there, they also have to be sitting back going, holy hell, how do we spin out of this? Instill public confidence in us? Kendrick Perkins talking about the NBA's problem.
The league does have a problem, right? And we got to make sure that as a league, we continue to protect the integrity of the game, right? Sports betting is everywhere. It's everywhere. You can't run from it. You can't hide it. Hell, my phone blows up every single day. Go
it's
ahead.
It's even on our own network. It's here. On ESPN.
Yeah, but my phone blows up every day. Hey, Perk, from cousins to friends, and you know,
yeah.
And obviously I could speak on it because you know I talk it. I speak for it on a living. I make appearances on ESPN Bet, but what I'm saying is, Shanae, just think about certain things that are being leaked out. How can you stop information from being leaked out? Wendy talked about, you know, the reports of injuries, right? Think about it. We still don't know who leaked out the Jordan Poole and Draymond Green fight. Now, I know this has nothing to do with it, but you talk about keeping things sacred and protecting the integrity of the league. So we got to find a way to do that.
Yeah, Kendrick Perkins speaking about the integrity of the game. Let's go back to the legal analyst, Danny Savalios, who says that we should all be expecting a PR campaign from the NBA. Let's watch how the NBA reacts.
Expect a PR campaign that focuses on isolating what they perceive to be the bad actors. I mean, the best case scenario is that they can cut out or separate from the people they perceive as being bad news. Obviously, alleged members of the crime families, but of course the players and coaches too. Even though they are, as you say, presumed innocent, the reality is anytime the government releases an indictment like this, the only voice anybody hears for months at a time is the government's version of the case. So the NBA cannot wait until an adjudication of guilt. They cannot wait for a verdict or a guilty plea. They have to act immediately and distance themselves from all of this conduct.
There it is. Separate, back away, get away from it. The NBA's got another problem, and it's got the Tim Donaghy problem amplified at this point. I'm disappointed with the Blazers. I think they should have had a stronger statement. I'm sure they're getting some direction from the NBA. And oh, by the way, they don't have an owner who's willing to step out and make a statement.
That would be nice if they had an owner. Do you think the NBA can somehow get these sportsbooks to not put out player props? And do you think the NFL maybe goes a little forward thinking and says, look, we need to put a kibosh on this before it happens to us? Because you know what's happening there too. And they have to know, like, okay, the backlash is bad. Do you think that they can somehow take out player props with these sports books, or is there just too much money involved?
I think they're going to have a hard time. I just noticed, did you notice what the FBI and the U.S. attorney said? They go, look, FanDuel, DraftKings are talking about these legal sports entity. They called them victims in this scheme as well.
They're victims in the scheme. And I'm like, I've never really thought about those entities as victims. I see what they are doing. But you know why. Do you find it odd that the feds are releasing so much of this stuff early on? You know, they usually hold their cards close to the vest.
Well,
like, they're just burying everybody right now.
They are. Stephen A. Smith kind of had a take, like, this is just the tip of the iceberg that Trump's coming after the NBA because, you know, kind of the wokeness, I guess you could say, of the NBA. Mm-hmm. Because the Tim Donaghy thing, they didn't have the director of the FBI out there talking about it. And they're making a big grand scheme of this. Do you think there's this is turning into a political type of thing for Trump, you know, and then the Republican Party? Like, is that involved? Like, I'm looking at all tentacles of this whole thing.
I am also just sorting through the text messages, and, you know, I just find it interesting, you know, Gambino and Columbo, and, you know, it's just it's wild to me that they were texting each other there. It's wild to me that, you know, they were involved in this to the extent that they were involved in it. I will ask Trent Walker about it, Oregon State wide receiver. I'm going to ask him, not only did he grow up a Blazer fan, we can talk about it from that standpoint, but also there's an element to Trent Walker that, you know, he's a college player. What is Oregon State, what is a typical college player hearing about, and what is a typical college player being instructed by his university? Trent Walker, wide receiver, Oregon State, is coming up. Leave it here. I'll have more on my social media as well, at John Canzano BFT. I put out some of those text messages that reference, appear to reference, Chauncey Billups, Blazers coach, being involved in the game, the poker game. So it kind of erases the idea that he's kind of an unwitting celebrity guest at the table. They literally say he knows the signals. And he was happy to lose the pot to Chauncey. I'll also take your phone calls, but Trent Walker coming up, Oregon State wide receiver. Leave it here.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, the big news of the day coming out of Portland with Chauncey Billups, Blazers coach, waking up with the FBI at his house. The Department of Justice, U.S. Attorney's Office, FBI involved in all of this. We've been talking about it on today's show. Every Thursday on the program, Trent Walker, the Oregon State wide receiver, joins us. Today is no different. It's courtesy of Jamba, and Trent Walker is with us. I want to talk about something different. First of all, congrats on the win. You guys won a game last week. Take a victory lap here. How'd that feel?
Yeah, appreciate it. Felt good, man. It felt good going to the locker room with a smile. Felt good going out and seeing the fans after the game. It was a good time, man. Winning's fun.
Second half of that game, you guys kind of imposed your will. It was physical, and your run game really got going. You could kind of feel it turn if you were watching it. What did it feel like to be on the field?
Yeah, I think we definitely didn't start how we wanted to start. Luckily, we got away with it. But the second half, the message was, We got to get out of our own way, and just be who we are. And then we kind of just, I think we scored what, like 35 unanswered or something like that. So it was good to see.
Good win. You're obviously got a week off here, or a bye week. I shouldn't say a week off because you guys are always working. But I want to ask you a little bit because we've been talking about gambling on the show. You know, the NCAA's got rules. You guys get talked to about gambling. Can you take us through kind of the instruction that you get as a college athlete, you know, that from, you know, what you can do and can't do and how diligent that is, or what, you know, what you're forced to read or what you see on a daily basis that warns you to stay away from it?
Yeah. So, every year, usually it's during fall camp. We have like an hour long meeting on just NCAA rules and whatnot. And there's like a strict, absolutely nope, that you cannot gamble on anything. I think if you get into like fine detail, I think the rule for us as college athletes is you can't gamble on anything that's a NCAA sport. Mm. So I think I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure UFC you're allowed to bet on because it's not an NCAA sport. But even if you were to do that, you can't do it anywhere on campus.
I do you see on a daily basis? I used to walk into locker rooms and you'd see like a poster and it would say, hey, you can't do this as an NCAA athlete. Do they have that stuff posted around the campus, or is it just that talk?
No, yeah, it's everywhere. We got posters everywhere, little reminders. I did see something, though, on my Twitter the other day that legislation is trying to pass that starting November 1st, college athletes can start gambling. Mm-hmm. I don't know much information on that, so I don't want to speak on it. But but that could definitely change the outlook on how college players view casinos and all that.
I wonder, too, as an athlete, because gambling has become such a big thing that you get people who are tweeting at you who are upset because their bet didn't come through or you didn't catch so many passes or, you know, little things like that. That seems to have picked up in the last couple of years, too, because there's so much wagering going on out there.
Yeah, I've definitely seen a couple of DMs on Instagram and Twitter that aren't too happy with me. But then I've also seen some where they're like super, super thrilled that I got the over or whatever they betted on me for. So it's kind of funny to see, but it definitely crosses the line at some point when people put a little too much money they can afford to lose on it.
Yeah, that too. And then I just think people kind of lose their minds a little bit. We've talked about it on this show that people are a little bit out of hand when it comes to, like, you know, sports is supposed to be a diversion. It's supposed to be your escape. It's supposed to be fun. And then, you know, people are losing their minds out there. And I think that sports wagering element is a part of it. We're talking to Trent Walker, wide receiver, Oregon State. All right. So, you know, you guys are, I don't want to say it's an off week, but a bye week. Where is the focus for you guys right now?
The focus is really just on ourselves. We're looking at a little bit of Wazoo, but really this week, we're doing more individual work, getting better at our fundamentals and our craft, getting some young guys some more reps during practice. I think it was a much needed bye week. I know last year we got two, and one was after every four games, and then this was like a long 8-week stretch. So I think it was definitely needed, not only physically, but mentally.
The quarterbacks, you know, Malik Murphy started. Jamari Johnson came in after and played really well, especially running the football. Where does that stand right now in your mind, both of those guys? Your coach, Rob Akey, saying, hey, it's not a quarterback controversy, but I think people who saw that game last Saturday are going, well, hey, wait a minute, the team just looks so much better with Jabari Johnson in there. What are you seeing in practice, and what are guys talking about?
I think both guys are super talented. We saw it last year with Bari. When he was competing with Vonnie, he's a guy that will come in and do what's asked of him. I think Malik's talented. I stand by both of them. I think both of them can get us wins. We'll see how Langs deals with it, but I trust both of them. I feel good about both of them.
Yeah, I think it's hard too because you see a guy. You know, obviously, you guys were happy because you won the game, but you see a guy who you've been catching passes with all year, who probably, you know, on the sideline isn't too happy in the second half because he's not playing. You've been there. You've been there as a player. How hard is that to stay focused if you're not getting playing time?
Yeah, I mean, I saw some tweets talking about how Malik didn't look too happy, but I kind of disagree with that. I think he was a guy who still had energy. He was still supporting us, and I don't think there's anyone happier for Bari than Malik, and so the tweets I thought were a little inaccurate. I think they caught a picture of the TV copy that kind of just saw a glimpse of it, but it really didn't paint the full picture. But going back to your question, I think it is tough. You feel like if you're a competitor and you're not on the field, it definitely hurts.
You are a guy who's in the locker room. You know what's going on there. And I know after Coach Bray was fired, you know, Jabari Johnson came out and he had that comment about some guys are quitting, or, you know, I can't remember the exact words of it, but help us set that straight. What do you think he meant by that? Was it that the locker room had shut down? Was it that there were just certain guys? Help me understand what was going on in the locker room at that time.
Yeah, I think the media kind of took his quote the wrong way. I don't think for a second Coach Bray lost the locker room by any means. I think what he meant to say was when we're down in the fourth quarter, it's tough for dudes to stay in the fight and not feel like it's over when we still have time. Mm-hmm. I talked to Bari about it. I know he didn't mean it as the locker room's lost and dudes are already quitting on the season and on the team. I think it was more so just in the moment. He felt like a couple dudes didn't still believe that we could finish a game late down the stretch.
You guys have won a game now, and I kind of wonder at the beginning of the year if maybe some of the issues with closing a game came from, hey, you know, you hadn't been there a lot. And does beating a team like Lafayette even and closing the way you did, does that help instill confidence as you play Washington State twice and Tulsa and Sam Houston down the stretch here?
Yeah, 100%. I think I talked about it with you off the radio, but having if we were to have the games like Lafayette and Fresno State, if we were able to have those first three games just go the way we wanted to and kind of flip the schedule on its head and did reverse, I think we would have learned how to close out games and win, because some people get it messed up. Like when you're winning, that's the time you're supposed to put your foot on their neck and continue to do what you've been doing to get to the lead. And I think it takes time. It takes experience to learn that.
You go to Jamba, and you go to Jamba after a win. What are you ordering in the wake of a win in a week where you went 1-0 last week?
I went with the white gummy this week. Okay. I like that one.
All right. Well, tell us about the white gummy for people who've never had it.
It's real sweet. There's a little sour to it. I don't know if it's the healthiest smoothie in the world. Like, I wouldn't go there on your weight loss journey, but it's a good one.
Trent Walker with us. All right. You grow up in the area. You got to be a Blazer fan. I feel for Blazer fans today. It's like, you know, it's a little bit like Charlie Brown in the football, right? You go to kick the football and Lucy pulls it out. And, you know, I thought the Blazers played well last night. They're starting a season. It's a young team. And then here comes bad news. You've lived through this in your childhood. Like, you know, there's just been a lot of setbacks. Did you grow up a Blazer fan?
Yeah, I did. I wouldn't say I'm a diehard Blazer fan. But when someone asked me, I'm a Blazer fan.
That's your team. Did you ever have a jersey of any player?
I had, what was his first name? He wore number 7. I think it was Roy something.
Brandon Roy. Come
Brandon
on.
Roy, yeah.
Brandon Roy, that's a big, big deal.
I wasn't a big basketball guy. I played it, but I didn't really watch it.
You said it without saying it when you were like, Roy something. I love it, though. Trent Walker. Yeah. Hey, you're the best, man. Congrats on getting a W. Go finish this year. I don't need to tell you. Go finish this year and line up a bunch of W's at the end of the year. You'll feel good about it going into the offseason.
No doubt. I appreciate it.
Okay, there he goes. Trent Walker. Big fan of that Roy guy. I love that. That was so authentic. I want you to leave it here. We got to talk more about the Blazers and the conundrum that they face. You got the bald-faced truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
There's a lot to this stuff. Brian Windhorst talking about Chauncey Billups.
Chauncey Billups isn't even named in this indictment. The head coach of the Trailblazers, who's now been put on leave by the league office, as, by the way, as Terry Rozier, as I'm sure you've told your viewers. Chauncey is just described as co-conspirator 8. Who is described as an Oregon resident who played in the NBA from 1997 to 2014.
Yes, we can figure that out. Okay. It is. Yes.
So
co-conspirator 8 provided some information to bettors about the playing availability of Damian Lillard. Blazers were playing the Bulls in March of 2023. Meanwhile, Brian Windhorst goes on to break down how exactly
Billups was involved in and what he's being accused
what
of.
What Chauncey is being accused of is, you know, there was a tanking job going out in 2023 going on because people were really interested in getting their hands on Victor Wembanyama. And the Blazers weren't participating in that tanking situation. And there was a moment in March of that year where the Blazers basically seemed to have decided to put their tank in overdrive. And they decided they were not going to play their regulars anymore, but specifically they were not going to play Dame Lillard. And there was this day, I can't remember who they were playing. Maybe the Jazz. Damian was listed as probable with a calf tightness. And according to the indictment, I'm not saying it happened. I just said according to the indictment, Chauncey told somebody that Dame wasn't going to play amongst other players, even though he was listed as probable. As the day went along, he was then switched to questionable and then out. And then he never played again the rest of the season. And the Blazers lost 15 of their last 17 games and ended up with Scoot Henderson, the number two pick.
So there's a lot more to this. And I think more of this is going to come out in the subsequent days. Ramona Shelburne talking about that.
You know, that's always the issue with stories like that, right? Because both of them kind of read to me like you roll up these guys because you have enough evidence on them. And then whatever they say, you know, you try to get them to turn on other people. So whether that's the mobsters involved, whether that's other players or assistants, maybe that helps save these guys. You know, they get a lesser sentence. I don't know. We'll see what happens here. But it feels, John, like when I was reading through the 16-page charging documents, right? The allegations.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This all felt just totally inevitable. This is like exactly what you feared when sports gambling became so pervasive.
There it is. Inevitable. Steve and I've sent you some of the documents as they pertain to the poker games. I don't know if you've had a chance to look through them so far, but the amount of information that's coming out of the Department of Justice is staggering. And the text messages, the photos, I literally have spent every commercial break on this show kind of pouring through this stuff, trying to decide what what my followers and what you guys listening to the show would be, followers on social media and people listening to the show would be interested in seeing. You know, it's pretty evident that Billups had some going-ons with these poker games. And now, you know, the subsequent betting piece, I think there are going to be more players. I think we're going to see more players arrested. I think we're going to see more players indicted. I think we're going to see a whole bunch of people wondering, did Terry Rozier have a season-ending injury, or did the NBA pull him while he was under investigation? Like, Brian Windhorst was out talking, saying it's possible that the NBA, is having these guys pulled because they don't want the smoke for what has happened with the investigation. So how much of this, in your mind, Stephen, is the NBA doing damage control on?
I think a lot, because the thing about Rozier is that sound is in sports audio, John, of Brian Warner's talking about it. You know, he faked that injury to go on the under, and then he didn't play, but he was out because of injury, but he actually didn't injure himself, right? So like the Heat listed him as injured, but he wasn't actually hurt. He literally faked the injury, so he went out of the game. So what would that mean? I mean, that would mean the Heat were in on it or two. Like, I don't know. It seems like Adam Silver probably said, look, man, we're going to try to keep this under wraps. We're going to say, look, you cannot play this guy, just like they did with Jontay Porter. It wasn't like, you know, because Jontay Porter was the same thing. He got accused of it, and then basically, you know, he got swept. They swept him out of the team and said, look, you can't play him. Then he's out of the league. Terry Rozier, same type of thing. I think the NBA is just trying not to let this thing get out of control and see exactly what's going on and see if there's a lot more people. LeBron James, he has a deal with DraftKings. Like, he literally has DraftKings bets for the NFL. LeBron James does. Like, this thing could go really deep, John. I'm not saying everybody's involved, but who knows what's happening right now? And if this is happening with guys like Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier, for guys that made $160 million, Chauncey's getting wired $50,000 just to be at illegal poker games and help him cheat, which is, by the way, the stuff you sent me and the machines they were using to cheat the system and get to know the cards, pretty impressive.
Yeah, completely interesting to me. They're going to make a movie about this. They're going to make a movie. I think they've already made the poker movie.
But I think they're going to make a movie about the whole thing being interconnected. Brian Windhorst talking about the possibility that the NBA knew about gambling and did some things to protect them, or maybe to damage control.
Absolutely right, Rich. The NBA at some point is going to have to explain why Terry Rozier was allowed to keep playing. And I just want to point something out.
Mm-hmm.
The sports books caught the irregular betting on Terry Rozier the day it happened, the morning it happened, when all of a sudden there was hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in on Terry Rozier unders for a relatively meaningless game in November. I'm sorry, in March, mm-hmm. involving the Charlotte Hornets. The sports books caught it. They told the NBA right away. And guess what? The NBA, Rozier didn't play the rest of the season. And he had faked the injury, so it wasn't because of the injury. The NBA pulled him. They pulled Jontay Porter, too. They flagged Jontay Porter and pulled Jontay Porter. The NBA's measures, their protection measures, the sportsbook's protection measures, triggered this. They caught it.
Uh-huh.
The issue, I think, is, you know, Jontay Porter, they caught.
There it is, Brian Windhorst talking about that. Here's Joe Murray, a sports wagering podcaster who is talking about a fishy finish to the Blazers-Celtics game in which he had a wager on it. So take it with a grain of salt.
I took the Blazers tonight. I had the Blazers plus 9. What was the final score, Scott?
Was it 128-118?
Yeah, that is, how many points did the Celtics win by?
That would be 10, Joe.
Okay, and what was the betting line again?
I believe it was 8 or 9, depending on where you got it and when you got it.
So what happened with 4 seconds left in the game?
The Portland Trailblazers, for some reason, fouled, Joe. Fouled twice, actually.
It was 126-118. They let J.D. Davison play. Drew Peterson came into the game, like, you know. So they're dribbling 5, 7, 6, 5, 4. Scoot Henderson fouls. Even Max, by the way, goes, why are they fouling? And I'm flipping out! Why did they foul there with 4 seconds left to put the Celtics on the line to go down 10? Game ends 128-118. I'll take the L. Fine. This isn't me complaining, but what the hell was that?
Not him complaining, but he is actually complaining.
But that stuff has happened for so many years, John. Bad beats is a whole thing. Like, yeah. That's not new. So just picking out some random game that the Blazers played in?
Doesn't this call everything into question? Like, doesn't everything that has happened? And here's part of the problem, and I'm going to say it. I'm going to say the quiet part out loud, okay? Chauncey Billups is not a good coach. I suspect he's a bad coach. Is it less noticeable when a bad coach is involved in this kind of stuff? Like, would you know? Like, if Greg Popovich had coached the Blazers, if Phil Jackson had coached the Blazers, if... You know, if you had Eric Spoelstra out there and you had some of the same stuff that was going on, like, maybe you don't wonder. But I think one of the problems is, and I'm going to go back to an interview that we did on this show with Mark Cuban years ago. It was in the wake of Tim Donaghy. One of the problems that happens when you introduce this idea of uncertainty and your trust has been rocked by the game itself and you can't trust the integrity of the game, the brand of the game's in trouble. Everything's in trouble. Here's Cuban on this radio show in 2014 when we were questioning playoff officiating. Okay? It was in the wake of Tim Donaghy.
Yeah, I mean, look, my attitude is the fact that we're having this conversation about the integrity of the game is horrible for our brand. And I think there are people that literally believe, and it's not true, but literally believe that games are fixed or the outcomes are influenced by the league. And I think that impacts the people who buy tickets, the number of people who spend money on merchandise, the number of people who watch our games. And so it's something that, you know, I do feel is an investment and that we'll try to improve and that Adam Silver has been very, very open to.
There it is. Adam Silver has been very open. Improve the integrity of the game. I went on to ask Mark Cuban about the officiating in particular because nobody was trusting it.
I think, and I don't want to speak for David, but my attitude with David on this and my battle with David is, when David Stern was commissioner, was that he didn't care who won. He knew one team had to win and one team had to lose, and officiating may or may not impact who won, but to him, because he didn't care who won, you know, it didn't, the officiating was well down on the list. I think Adam recognizes that, you know, it's not that Adam cares which team wins, but what he does recognize is that it impacts our brand, impacts TV viewership, impacts merchandise sales, and so as a result, it's something we should deal with.
There you go. You got to deal with it because it impacts everything. And I think that's kind of what you're dealing with if you're the Trailblazers or you're the NBA. You're dealing with the consumer confidence in your product has been removed. You know, it, and this isn't like going through a Chipotle back in the day when they had, like, you know, foodborne illness. Oh, is it safe to eat at Chipotle? You know, immediately the labs were involved and they were able to pinpoint, all right, here's what's wrong and let's change our practices and do this. Can you do this if you're the NBA and it proves that this is wider spread than initially believed? If it's proved that coaches were involved, not just players, if it's demonstrated that, you know, these poker games were just sort of the on-ramp to the bigger problems. You know, Stephen, you brought up a movie that Molly's Game that you were talking about. I mean, they pretty much have outlined this.
Yeah, Molly's Game. It's she was an Olympic skier, like downhill skier, and she hurt herself, and she ended up getting tied up into some poker games where she would run her own poker games, and she would have celebrities. Now, in the movies, they didn't say their names, but if you look it up, it's like Leonardo DiCaprio, like A-list celebrities would be at her poker games, and that's kind of where she made all the money, and it all got tied in with the mob, like people like that got involved, and it all got out of hand, and then she ended up taking a rake of it, so that's why it was illegal. But yeah, I mean, this is a thing where you get celebrities in your poker games, people want to be around them, right? Especially rich people. Like, let's just say there's some Detroit Pistons fan that has a lot of money, owns a business. He's like, look, I can play poker with Chauncey Billups. He was the finals MVP when they won the NBA championship over the Lakers. I would love to do that. So I think this is probably happening a lot more than we know of, because these are illegal poker games, right? They're underground games. But I don't think that this shouldn't shock people that this is happening going on throughout the U.S.
Yeah, and look, I'm just bracing for the other reports of other sports and other athletes. I think a lot of people in sports are paying attention to this. I think a lot of fans are paying attention to this. Elliot Ness in the Untouchables back in the day, they held a big news conference and they grandstand a little bit. I think there was a lot of that going on as well from the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI. They had like 50 people on stage. It was, you know, and I'm not downplaying the seriousness of the charges. I mean, the investigation is a real investigation, and either you did it or you didn't do it. But certainly today, I think a lot of Blazer fans, we've heard from a lot of fans on the show, and I still, on the other side of this break, have more to say and more to share. I want you to stay tuned here. We've got the 5 at 5 coming up. Steven's got the 5 biggest stories. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, are they all involved in this case? We'll find out.
BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Well, the big news of the day, we know what it is. It's national news. That needs to be pointed out. That I had a friend in Arizona this morning who texted me and said, oh my gosh, this Trailblazers Chauncey Billups thing, it's on Fox National News. My college friends who I went to college, yes, I have friends. My college friends reached out to me and they said, oh, you're going to have a busy day. How did they know this was going on? Dan Dickow, professor at Gonzaga, reached out to me and he said, oh, wow, you're going to have a busy day. It's a national story. It is the biggest story. Everybody's talking about it. The moms at elementary school pickup line, we're talking about it. They're talking all about this thing. Oh my gosh, did you see? Chauncey Billups got arrested. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show. We're leading you into Thursday Night Football, but it is going to be the best
most action-packed 10 minutes that we've ever had. Steven's going to do the 5 at 5, and we're going to talk all about the gambling probe and the arrests, 30 people arrested, the crime families. I didn't even know the mob was a thing anymore. It's still a thing. We need to make more mob movies. This is real. Crime families, lieutenants, Paulie Walnuts, Tony Soprano. This is all happening.
Well, BetMGM had a funny tweet, and I don't think they meant it. Maybe they did mean it on purpose, but you know, it's the sports equinox coming up next, and so they tweeted out all the sporting events, but they tweeted all pictures of Tony Soprano in all of them. And I responded and said, I think Tony's looking for the next guy they can have shave some points.
I want to point out as well that, you know, by the way, for people, you know, I saw a tweet where it said the NBA is very concerned about the multiple arrests made as a result of the FBI sports gambling code. By the way, use the code multiple arrests to get 30% profit boost on a 3-leg parlay with DraftKings. There you go. There you go.
I saw the official partner. Sometimes the internet does do good things and makes some funny things. You know, there's the fake betting slip of Chauncey Billups says first coach arrested, Terry Rozier first player arrested, and then Nikola Jokic triple double tonight. You parlay that and you win a bunch.
There you go. Have at it. All right, we're gonna do the 5 at 5. Let's do it.
The 5 at 5. Number 1.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier, as they have both been arrested and caught up in a poker scheme for Chauncey Billups and a sports gambling scandal for Terry Rozier. Now, Terry Rozier, he was faking injuries and going under on player props, where him, like his cousins and uncles and people involved were making those bets on his unders. He then would win those bets. Now, Chauncey Billups also, he officially is facing fraud, money laundering charges in court today. He was arraigned in a downtown Portland court today and was actually released just a little bit ago. There's a video of that if you want to see that. Go on my Twitter, @Steven_VO, and I retweeted that. But Chauncey has left the courthouse. He's released on conditions of travel limited to Oregon, Colorado, and the federal courthouse in Brooklyn, New York. And he did have to turn over his passport. So, looking, not looking good there for the head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers, as he is now he's still with the Blazers, but probably not for long.
Chauncey leaving that courthouse in some sweatpants, some sneakers,
clutch sports sweater,
and a sweatshirt. Yeah, and obviously this is going to be a long journey for him legally. He has bigger problems than, you know, game planning for the Clippers or whatever he was focused on before. I also think, you know, from a Blazers standpoint, if I'm the new owner, Tom Dundon, the new owner of the Blazers, owner-to-be, I'm spinning this as, look at the old regime. Look at how messy they are. How great is it going to be when I take over? You make Jody Allen look like Phyllis Diller. You make her and Burt Cole look like Tweedledee and Tweedledum. You pin it on them like, you know, Trump pinned it on Joe Biden. Joe Biden pinned it on Trump. Trump pinned it on Obama. Obama pinned it on, I can't even remember. It's been too long.
Number 2.
It's the last guy's fault is what I'm saying.
Well, how about the Blazers game? They actually had a game last night, John. They played the Minnesota Timberwolves as Chauncey Billups was their coach. They ended up losing 118 to 114. Shaden Sharp had a struggle of a game, 6 of 20 shooting. Denny Avdija had 20 points and 7 rebounds. Jeremy Grant came off the bench, had a nice game. But the Blazers, John, in the fourth quarter, they really fell apart. Only 2 made field goals in the final 9.5 minutes. Unfortunately for Blazer fans, the feds didn't come out and arrest Chauncey between the third and fourth quarter, or else the Blazers might be 1-0.
Yeah, but you also have to acknowledge that it does appear that the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI waited for the NBA season to open, knew that Chauncey Billups was the biggest name associated with this whole thing, and waited for him to coach one game.
Doesn't that make it seem a little political? Because the NBA is
I'm not
going to
say political. Well, I'm going to say
the NBA is known as the woke league, John.
Yeah, but it's. I think there's some grandstanding involved there. Timing is everything. But I just think it is kind of interesting, because I thought to myself, if they had arrested him a month ago, it's not as big a story because the Blazers just move on. It's not an active NBA coach getting arrested, Hall of Famer arrested. It's a big story, but it's not as big as he played a game, coached a game last night, arrested today at his house in Lake Oswego. How about that? You know,
I've been looking for video of that video, of the arrest video. I cannot find it.
I don't think that's going to be anywhere because... Well, it might be isn't some body
like a,
cam.
Yeah, like a ring camera or something.
There might be body cam. I do think there's a little bit of, and I'm not diminishing law enforcement here, but it's funny to kind of watch how many people were on that stage, you know, as they're announcing the arrests. Moving on. Number three.
It should have came in after the third quarter. The Blazers be 1-0, man. Just unfortunate. Just unfortunate. Well, I'm going to pivot a little bit out of the way here. As Lionel Messi, he is the most popular soccer player in the MLS. He actually signed a contract extension, John, today to stay in the MLS with Inter Miami through the 2028 season. That's, two and a half more seasons. Messi's already 38 years old, but he will be playing until 2028 now. He was the MVP of the MLS last season. He won the Golden Boot for most goals in the MLS season this year. He had 29 goals in 28 games. And Inter Miami's valuation has more than doubled since Messi's arrival. They're reportedly worth $1.19 billion as of January of 2025. Messi staying at MLS and has really raised up that Inter Miami profile.
Well, there you go. Keep the band together. Do you think soccer has gambling issues? Yeah, there's been evidence of gambling issues in soccer and football, basketball. You know, the
worse than the NBA.
Yeah, the mob does not discriminate. How do you stop all this? I don't know. You have humans involved, and you have legalized wagering and money, a lot of money.
Number four.
Let's go a little positive, John. The University of Oregon, they are really good at football, but they may be getting better as wide receiver Evan Stewart is reportedly ahead of schedule, recovering from his torn patellar tendon, and could be back sometime in November. He posted a TikTok today dancing with the caption, "Well, y'all know where I'm at, hashtag rehab." And in the TikTok, he was dancing pretty well and moving really fast. But a couple different On3 Sports, 24/7 Sports, they're reporting he should be back in November. Ducks may not even need a wide receiver, but it can't hurt to add a guy like Evan Stewart.
Yeah, there you go. That's a big get back. It's a long season. Oregon planning for 14 or 15 weeks of this season. And so getting that guy back in the lineup is good. Still unsure of how effective he would be. But if you can get him back, that doesn't hurt.
Number five.
And then we do have Thursday night football tonight. The Chargers are going to get some reinforcements. They got some offensive line help coming back. They're taking on the Vikings down in L.A. And the point spread 3.5 right now. I'm currently looking on DraftKings because it's that easy to make bets. I do wonder what Terry Rozier has. Well, you got any inside sources on what Terry Rozier has tonight? Chargers minus 3.5.
There you go. What do you like? What do you like there? Here we are being complicit.
See, we should have asked Chauncey when he left the courthouse. Hey, who you got tonight?
Who's to say he wasn't? Did you know he was making that walk from the courthouse?
He looked cool, though. I will say.
Did he though?
Yeah, the hoodie sweats. He pulls it off.
I can't believe you're saying that. He's got problems, man. Can you imagine the stress of that situation that he's in?
He looked pretty. I mean, he looked like he wasn't stressed at all. Like he looked like he was just strolling through the park.
Well, I think Diddy looked like that too when he was heading in out of court. I don't know. I think you have to understand that like there's basketball stress and maybe that helps prepare him for the stress that he's going through now. But this case is going to take a long time. And the feel I have is that, you know, look, the NBA is concerned about the players and the coaches who are involved in this stuff. Certainly. This is a big, big worry for the NBA. But I almost feel like the real thing is Gilbert Arenas, Terry Rozier, and Chauncey Billups, they're caught up in this thing. The feds were after the crime families in New York. They weren't after the NBA. The NBA guys wandered into the fray. And I kind of wonder if, in the end, the deals that are going to be cut, or maybe the deals that are already being cut, Gilbert Arenas, the deals that will be cut will benefit the celebrities in the end. We shall see. We'll have more, of course, on tomorrow's show, including the BFT jury. What will we put on trial tomorrow? Let's find out. Stick around. Leave it here. We've got Thursday Night Football coming up.